All right, episode 8, Rob, we're back.
Episode 8.
Yeah, so yesterday we started recording and there was this fantastic inclement weather that came through, right? We were cracking some jokes as hail, rainstorms, all sorts of stuff was panic in the streets.
Panic in the streets.
In Atlanta, dare I say, right? And we had made a comment about the weather map, orange, red, purple bands of weather coming through, which kind of got me thinking maybe we should spend a couple minutes talking about color theory, right? Mm-hmm. And sort of color principles, how it applies to advertising, design. I can talk a little specificity about the evolution of color and production, right? Printing being more of an art form than a science, right? We've all got our color printers in the office, CMYK, right? This toner, that color, you know, all that sort of stuff, right? So I think it's interesting to think about color principles and sort of what the meanings are, right? I think we learn about in art school, at least we learn, you know, you've got your primary wheel of color, your red, yellow, blue. All colors can be made from those three base colors, right? We mix yellow and blue together and we get
green.
Green. Exactly. Right. So a lot of, you know, we're mixing paints in freshman year of art school, things like that, right? Color from a design perspective and sort of what it means, I think can kind of be an interesting topic, right? So there's a reason why, you know, the medical profession, for example, stays away from the color red, right? And leans more into blue, for example, right? Red being sanguine and potentially a negative aspect, right? And
bloody.
Yeah, bloody. But, you know, the Red Cross is red, right? I mean, you know, and it has been forever.
Emergency.
Yeah. So, you know, orange potentially being the color of caution, yet it's interesting that that is the primary color of Home Depot, right? And sort of construction in general, things like that, right? Any initial thoughts about color from your side of the fence?
Well, let's start with my favorite color.
Okay.
My favorite color is blue.
Okay.
And I don't know. I think it's because I consider it to be a calming color.
Well, the your office is blue.
Yeah,
as well. You painted your office blue. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just like it in general as a, I don't know, it's kind of a cool masculine color,
yeah,
dare I say.
Yeah. Well, it is a, on the cooler shade, right? You think about oranges and reds being warm colors, mm-hmm, and blues, potentially even greens, being cool colors, right?
Right.
And sort of the feeling that it exudes, right?
Yeah, it is interesting that when you look at color, and again, we sort of alluded to this yesterday on the last podcast, but the idea that color has such an influence, be it conscious or subconscious, I think, when we do work. And that's why we were talking about the idea that, like, we'll pick on logos again for a second. Whenever we show them in black and white.
Yeah.
Because, A, you're always going to need an iteration of black and white. Everybody is. At some point. So you want to see it in black and white, but that allows you to focus on the actual mark itself,
yeah,
and not be influenced consciously or subconsciously,
yeah,
by color.
Correct.
And so I think there's, when you think about color just in everyday life or as it applies to design work, there's the conscious and there's the subconscious. So there's the, oh, you know, for me, I like blue.
Yeah.
I love blue.
Yeah.
So I don't care what the logo is. I'm always going to like it probably better in blue.
Yeah.
Because I lean towards blue.
That's interesting.
Regardless of what the subconscious, implications of blue,
sure,
are, right, in general.
Yeah.
I bet you can guess my least favorite color.
I don't know that I can.
Yeah, you do.
Orange?
No, it's yellow.
Yellow. Okay, I was close.
I'm not a yellow fan. So if you showed me a logo in black and white that I thought was really strong.
Okay.
And then you showed me that same, at the same time.
Yeah.
And then showed me that same logo in yellow. I guarantee you,
I'd be like,
I'm not a fan.
Hard pass.
Yeah. And that's the reason that we do that with clients, is show it in black and white, because we don't want, at least in the first round, you sort of think about it as building blocks. You want to make sure that the foundation that you're building is strong and solid and that you're on board, mm-hmm, with it, and you're not affected by the paint color of the wall.
Sure, sure.
Versus looking at the architecture of the room.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know what the immediate thought came to mind of when it's time to sell your house, paint the house white, right?
Neutral, grays.
It's always
grays,
a neutral grays, or a taupe or something like that, right? That way everybody can walk into the house. They're not biased by the room, you know, and they say a darker color. So we painted our kitchen, you know, espresso or whatever. I'm making this up, right? It's like, oh, the darker colors feel like they're enclosing you a little bit. You know, it's harder to imagine your furniture in this floor plan when one wall is accent magenta or whatever the case may be, right? So the absence of color, even outside of design, but in a real estate environment, it's kind of interesting to think about in that respect too.
And then by contrast, what I think is interesting is, so generally speaking, everybody's going to say go neutral when you're showing your house and you're selling your house.
Absolutely.
However, there's a trend in appliances as well as kitchen cabinet
paints. I was about to say cabinetry.
There's a trend of appliances in color. I mean, you go and look at Wolf and some of the, even the higher end, you know, Vikings and things, they have entire lines that are now like, you get your stove in bright red
or
get your stove in green as a way to take something that is generally just an appliance, right? It's utilitarian, but you sprinkle a little color on it and suddenly it becomes personalized.
Yeah.
It becomes an expression of you and who you are and what you like to do. And the same is true with cabinetry, right?
Yeah, it's also an interesting focal point. I mean, like your range has gone from black. Well, maybe if we talk about the 50s, everything was white and porcelain, or maybe then we went into that avocado phase of coloring.
Yeah.
But then we went to just appliances are black or white. That way they recede into the room, right? Then we went into a stainless steel craze where everything's stainless steel and it's kind of industrial. We break in the Wolfs, the Sub-Zeros. Then we started accenting those Wolfs with colored knobs.
The red knobs.
Wolf had all the red knobs, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now we've got the entire appliance is now that color.
Right.
And truly becomes a focal point, which I think is interesting.
Right.
So, you know, the evolution of color, both from an advertising design perspective and then even just out in the real world, is kind of interesting. You know what I mean? To think about in that respect. I also think, too, that what has really been interesting over the course of my career in terms of color principles changing is that we've always had kind of one base of color. You know, I mentioned the primary colors, obviously, that all colors come from. And then we talk about printing. We all have our little Epson inkjet printers with our little black toner or cyan. You know, that's when basically the world became familiar with how, like, the
CMYK.
with how the newspapers were printed and things like that, right? And CMYK in general. But something that's interesting that we encounter, not often, but from time to time in terms of showing work is, you know, is the work ever going to be printed or not, right? And the big transition in color from CMYK to RGB, right? Everybody's familiar with RGB now because of websites, because we consume things on screens so much, right? Our phones are RGB. That's red, green, and blue. Right? And sort of a backlit projected image of color. The breakdown of how color is consumed by our eyeballs in an RGB perspective versus a CMYK perspective are totally different, right? So if you have a brand that does not transcend to print materials, it's only an on-screen brand. We're a television station,
right?
Or we're a streaming service or whatever the case may be, right? RGB color systems can be a lot brighter, a lot more impactful. Think about neon, hyper color of the 80s, you know, things like that. I'm thinking of a client that you're thinking of too, that will remain nameless, of course, for the green utilized in their logo, right?
Yep.
And it was, hey, did a full rebrand of the green. Right. And then, hey, we can't reproduce this green.
In printed materials,
right? Yeah, because it was only an RGB-based system,
right?
So something that we like to think about for our clients and something that we obviously develop color systems for, right, is to make sure that that brand can transcend not only a digital environment, but also a print environment, right? Then we start thinking about, you know, that print environment on multiple substrates, right? If we think about Coca-Cola, it's easy to pick on Coca-Cola in an Atlanta-based company, of course. You know, that Coke Red is Coke Red, right? But we're printing that red on aluminum, we're printing it on plastic, we're printing it on cardboard, we're printing it on all these different things, right? Well, that color break, the science of that red and how we break down that red to be reproduced on all these different substrates so that in the grocery store, it all looks the same, right, as a consumer. So a lot of people don't even think about these types of things, but these are the things that like are obsessive compulsive to people like us.
That's right? What I was going to say is that you mentioned Coca-Cola. It's like, and even, I have no understanding of really color and how color works. I mean, again, at light refraction, that like I have a.
You mean the conical definition of your eyeball and all that kind of stuff?
But, yeah, but even the science of color as it relates to printing and not printing, and I think most people certainly take for granted like Coca-Cola Red. Well, it's just Coca-Cola red.
Yeah.
But the art and the work and the science that it takes to get that red perfect across, to your point, every single substrate in every country, at every manufacturing plant, it'll like to get that right. And that obviously is a color that they own. That was a color that they created and they own. But to get that right in as many touch points as you see it and as the everyday consumer sees it is incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
And there's a crazy science to it that I think most people, you just kind of, why would you take it for granted?
Yeah.
You would never think about that.
Yeah. Well, even just domestically, you think of different vendors, you know, the bottling plant or the bottling services and putting it in cans, they're printing it there versus, oh, we're printing billboards over in Texas.
Right.
And then we're printing the cardboard paper, you know, cutouts or whatever in you know, California, for example, or whatever. Like all that stuff has to be kit packed, shipped together, and in total alignment, right?
That's crazy.
So, yeah, let's not even talk about dot gain. We'll talk about
podcast.
So
it's truly exciting.
Yeah, very, very exciting. You know, color. So color can be incredibly simple upon first appearance, right? But then when you start to dig into it, if you don't know what you're doing, right, when it comes to execution and a production standpoint, it can become incredibly frustrating and incredibly difficult, you know?
Very true. All right, we're going to end on two questions for your one-word answers. First, what is your least favorite color?
My least favorite color? Well, I don't want to say blue because it's your favorite color. But
you're not going to...
I got to do a one-word answer. My least favorite color, yellow.
Okay.
It's the hardest to work with from a design perspective.
Don't like it.
It just is.
All right. And your favorite color, your bestest, your mostest favoritest. Got to pick one.
Man, that's tough. I love all the colors. I'm a designer. I love them all.
Skittles.
I'm going to say purple.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For those that don't know, purple, I'm going to sound very elitist right now, but purple was always reserved as the color of royalty because it was the hardest... the most expensive pigment to manufacture way back in the day. I don't even know what years we're talking about here, but way, way back in the day, it was always the most expensive garment. And I think it had something to do with the flowers or however we manufactured that pigment, you know, way back in the whatever. So there is kind of an extra special place of the passion of purple for me. And you don't see it super often. You know what I mean? It's maybe a little bit more exclusive, I guess, of a color. So...
All right. Well, fair enough.
Well, hold on. Flip back. Oh no. We got.
I already told you.
We got blue for you.
We're in alignment on yellow. On yellow. But I'm kind of a blue fan.
All right. Well, that's more than you needed to know about color for today, right?
Yeah. Well, unlike purple, what is not difficult is where to find us online.
Yes. This is true.
And you can do that at mocktheagency.com, and you can find us on all the socials at mocktheagency. And hey, if you're so inclined and you hear this, feel free to drop us a review. Or shoot us a note on what you'd like for us to talk about. We're always open to ideas and things you might want to hear. So thanks for tuning in, and we will see you
next time.